folks, if your knowledge of DISC, high D's, I's, S's, and C's, the perfectionists, the Attila the Huns, the marketers, the team players, if that has helped you become more effective at work, you'll want to seriously consider coming to our Effective Communications Conference. We set the basics of DISC in an hour or so, and then we spend the rest of the day teaching you how finally to communicate effectively, which is to pay attention to what your listener does and communicate in a way that makes sense to them. At the end of the day, you'll be able to read someone in a conversation, determine their major DISC tendency, and then based on that, make some changes in how you deliver to improve the chances that you get harmony and congruence and collaboration and not drama, conflict, and tension. Come see us.
Welcome to Career Tools. Our guidance on relationship errors, trying to change your boss. Don't do it, folks. Here we go. Wendy, we've been talking this way for 10 years. People keep asking us, you know, how do I change my boss? How do I get him to manage me the way I want? You know, people say, oh, I manage my boss all the time. And of course, there's a Harvard Business Review article called Managing Your Boss, which is misleading because it says you can't. But this is a relationship cast. It's not so much a boss cast.
Yeah. I mean, it applies to lots of people in that you can't change other people, which will be our first point in a minute. But it applies particularly to bosses because the consequences are so different.
Dire.
Trying to change your boss and trying to change someone else.
Okay. Well, what about the person who says, oh, no, my boss really listens?
Don't believe them.
Well, yeah, I would say don't believe them. And I would say there's a big difference between a boss soliciting feedback, listening to that feedback, smaller and smaller percentages as I go along here, and then actually making an effort to change and then actually changing.
Yeah, you're right. There's a big difference between solicited feedback and unsolicited feedback as well, which a lot of the time is what people want to give.
Yeah. And so this cast is about, of course, we don't give feedback, but we're suggesting, you know, be careful even about making suggestions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you come out of a meeting and think, oh, I'll just give my boss a little hint that I don't think this bit went over very well. But no, don't do that. Unless he says, what do you think were the things that didn't go well? And you can describe the situation without describing his behavior, and you can be gentle about it, then perhaps. But coming out of the meeting and saying, I think you were really rude to them, don't go there.
Yeah, good. Okay. So what's our outline?
So we're going to talk about why we are not trying to change other people.
Yeah.
And then we're going to, a subset of other people is your boss. And one of the things that makes bosses, particularly someone you don't want to change, try and change is because they know more than you. So don't try and change more people who know more than you.
Yeah. And folks, if you think that you know more than your boss, well, generally speaking, think again.
Because otherwise you'd be in his chair, right? And the third point is change yourself.
Yeah. Before we go any further, I'm sure there are a lot of people who are listening going, you know, but if my boss asks, and you know, that could be a different situation, guys. But I want to share something with you. We've said many times on our casts, Manager Tools and Career Tools, that our guidance is for 90% of managers and professionals 90% of the time. So do the math, that's 81% of all situations in your professional life. There are some situations we don't cover. There are some people who are unique. We've said before, if you're as smart as Bill Gates and Steve Jobs and have access to that much capital and you're a billionaire, you don't have to listen to us at all, and we suspect you're not. But in addition, we also say this regarding our guidance. Our standard is not just we provide guidance that people can use to help themselves. Our standard is we will not give guidance that anyone can use to hurt themselves. So there are many things we could say that many of you could benefit from, but because we have somebody listening right now to us late at night, they're tired, they're looking for a solution. Perhaps our podcast is the one blade of grass in a desert. The oasis in the desert, and they're translating our guidance into their own native tongue. And so they're going to get a higher percentage of it wrong. Sometimes I talk fast. Sometimes when to use his British words. And so there's going to be miscommunication. We have people come back to our effective manager conference 4 or 5 times and say, I learned something again. I learned something new. I wasn't, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and I wasn't ready. When you said that the first time, I was still getting to step one, and you just gave me a step 4 piece of knowledge that I could not have learned 4, 5, 6 years ago. So we know we're bucking the trend. We know that your CEO would say, no, everybody should give everybody suggestions. But we know that when it comes to your boss, there's risk. And this cast actually starts with the underlying principles of you can't change other people. But bosses are a special case, especially among them. So with that caveat, so we're not going to try to change other people, Wendy. This is something you and I talk about a lot, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's because of a fundamental human behavior. So no matter who you are, every human on the planet, in fact, every animal on the planet, even the little amoebas, act for in 2 ways. They act to get rewards or avoid pain.
Yeah.
Even when you're doing something that's long-term bad for you, you do it in that moment because that in that moment
you get that reward. Good.
Yeah. Or it stops you feeling pain, right? So that's all we're doing all day. And we have, you know, developed frontal lobes and executive function and all the things that came after that in our brains, but at a fundamental core, that's all we're doing. And so what your boss is doing that annoys you or irritates you or you think is ineffective, they are doing for a reason to right. either get a reward or avoid pain. So let's say you have a boss who...
Go ahead. I'm just champing at the bit here. I have this conversation 5 times a week.
Yeah. So let's say your boss... you need your boss to sign contracts off. You negotiate, you have the contract drawn up, you have it agreed with the other company, and the last thing you need is for your boss to sign these contracts. And he never signs them. He never signs them the first time you ask, or the second, or the third, or the fourth, and you have to nag him 20 times for every contract.
And my guess is there is no punishment associated with not signing.
Exactly.
None. Other than you're nagging.
Exactly.
There's no benefit for signing them other than the elimination of the nagging, which he can tolerate. And he has a full schedule and he's thinking there's 25 things I could do. The pain I reduce, the nagging, is so small and the reward I get is so negligible that I can just say, no, I don't want to do it.
Yeah. Like a little fly buzzing around and he's like, yep, gone. And the pain is all on you as the direct. The customers are calling you and saying, where's the contract? They're saying to you, where is it? I'm waiting. Why are we having to wait so long? Why can't you get your boss to sign it? Your boss isn't feeling any of that pain. All he has is that 10-second moment when you say, please, will you sign this? And he says, yeah, I'll do it later on.
Yeah, and this goes to the larger piece as well, that if you don't understand why someone's doing something, they're not doing it because it's wrong to them.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't understand it, it's your fault. Your lack of understanding is your fault. Nobody intentionally does wrong things. It is unlikely in most cases, not all, but in most cases, that you have some knowledge about the rewards and punishments that are being visited on your boss that he or she is unaware of. Now, admittedly, if he's ticking you off to the point where you would quit and you would only walk in at the last minute and quit, certainly, of course, then him putting you to the boiling point, he may be unaware of that punishment. But he probably assumes that away or she assumes that away in the short term. The point is, if you want to change somebody, it's probably because what they're doing doesn't make sense to you. You think it's ineffective. And because you don't have the rule power over your boss, and because you've probably never done her job, you don't know the rewards and punishments they're dealing with, which is one of the reasons why the vast majority of the time, somebody slips and gives their boss direct, unvarnished feedback, even if they do it politely and say, you know, when you do this thing you're doing, it's not helpful to me. Bosses immediately get defensive in the minds of the direct.
And Yeah, is my job to make you happy? Yeah.
Well, no. And they also say, well, you don't understand my job. You don't know this. Now, many bosses say that because it's true. Because, hey, look, I gotta tell you, this happened and you don't know about it. But because of that, I can't do this. I'm sorry, I can't. And I would prefer not to say it, but now that you've asked, cat's out of the bag, I'll tell you, I can't do it. The vast majority of bosses, actually, when they say, well, you don't understand, are just being defensive and thin-skinned. Regardless, they know they have role power, and you trying to change somebody because what they're doing is harmful to you, they're probably to some degree unaware of it. Not that you might not should tell them in some situations, but as a general rule, you're not going to change anybody else, and what they're doing makes sense to them.
Yeah. So think about, if you think about all of the things that you've done or you have done consistently, and people have consistently told you not to do it or told you to do it quicker. Perhaps like expenses is often one of these things that people just go, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that. Oh, it'll take too long and I'm too busy and I'm far more important. They have all these justifications for not doing expenses. And, you know, somebody comes along fairly regularly and says, please, will you do your expenses? And there's a consequence in 3 months, you won't get that money back. And 3 months feels like such a long time. And so you don't do them because the consequence right now is nothing. In those kind of circumstances, does someone speaking to you make any difference? Even if they threaten you with, oh, you're not going to get that money back, you just go, oh, it was $300, I don't care. You know? Because you don't want to have someone interrupt your reward mechanism.
Yeah. I would even say there's a line in the show notes. Those of you who are licensees, I would encourage you to download them and read them. They're part of your license. It says, your boss hears your pain, but he doesn't feel it. So he continues to do what's rewarding to him. Your pain is not necessarily your boss's pain, right?
Exactly. And even if you think you can visit that pain on him, it's still not the same to someone else. The way you feel pain and the way somebody else does are completely different. You know? Some people can leave stuff and they have a deadline and deadlines are just, you know, they're just arbitrary dates. Who cares? And other people are like, if I don't get that on the deadline, I will be mortified. It's just, right. You know, it's a different, some people feel pain and some people don't. So if you try and visit your pain on your boss, you just get nowhere.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, if you try to break this cycle of, I'm not feeling any pain right now. And so it may be pain, but maybe it'll be beneficial for me to do it tomorrow. If you try to convince your boss with feedback, it's not going to work. You blow stuff off. People have spoken to you about it. You've got habits that aren't great, and you continue to do it. When somebody speaks to you about it, does it make you want to do it any more or any less? Only when the pain becomes great enough for you within your understanding, are you going to think about changing that thing? You know, if you're gaining weight, only when your pants don't fit, as opposed to, oh, you know what? Pretty soon my pants aren't going to fit, so I need to start eating less and not enjoy the meals as much and not eat as many bone-in ribeyes, medium rare when I'm traveling and so on. But boy, if I feel pain like my pants won't fit, well, okay, that's different. And the other thing about this is, I assume you're going to say something here about how much influence your boss has over one's career, right?
Yeah, exactly. So you've got this irritation, this, you know, he won't sign these things when I want him to. But the consequences that he can visit on you because you gave him feedback and he didn't like that are far bigger than the pain you're in right now. You think it's going to ease your pain. That's why you give people feedback or you make a suggestion.
Right.
But it's not. Because your boss controls your career. They control your day-to-day experience, because a boss can make you pretty miserable if they want to. There's always really naff jobs that nobody wants to do, and all of a sudden, you'd end up doing all of them. Or they can go as far as ruining your long-term career by firing you and not giving you a reference.
Or they don't even have to really ruin your long term with something that significant. They simply underinvest in you, undercommunicate with you, freeze you out on things. They don't have to take, yeah. They don't have to chop your head off. They simply have to not feed and water you. And suddenly, you know, the boss can't get everybody promoted. Boss can't get everybody what they want. And she picks two people and not, you're not one of them.
Exactly.
That gets extra attention and her nod for promotion or for the right project or what have you. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're still struggling with this, this is the picture I have in my mind. If you imagine a little 5-year-old, 6-year-old going up to their parents and saying, I want to give you some feedback on your parenting technique. What does every parent say? It's like kids saying, this shouldn't be my bedtime. And every parent goes, well, I get to decide that. And yes, it is your bedtime.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else, guys. You'll hear a lot of people say, of course, people should be open to this.
Uh-huh.
And that's true. And they should. But you know what? Should is almost always a bad word. But what happens is people think bosses should be open to it. And then the guidance they give is too direct in the form of you now, because bosses should be open to it, you now should talk to your boss. But that's conflating two different things, the boss being open to it and the direct giving it, which are two completely different things. What's more, I got to tell you, I say it this way all the time. Think about it. You're probably thinking right now, if you're a manager, I'd like to know from my directs, you know, things I can do better. Sure. And if you're that person, you're probably asking. And you're asking in a way repeatedly, and in fact, we have a cast for that called How to Get Feedback from Your Directs, even though it's really poorly named cast, because directs don't give feedback to their boss. Feedback is for subordinates. On the other hand, the vast majority of bosses don't do that, and that's a good indication that they're probably not open to it. More importantly, the nail in the coffin here is if your direct said to one of their peers, oh yeah, I'm managing him. Oh, I tell him what he needs to do. And then he does it. You would say, even if I'm open to what this person suggests, my job is probably such that I won't be implementing all the things that they're doing. So there are some situations where your boss might be that person. But as a general rule, your first thought ought to be, don't make suggestions unless there's a concerted effort, simply because it's unlikely you're going to change someone else, let alone someone who has more role power than you. And by the way, guys, this is not a cynical piece of guidance. This is realism. Manager Tools and Career Tools, we are optimists. We love people to be successful. We know it's hard. We think optimism makes hard work a little bit more tolerable, seeing the fruit at the end of the limb rather than just worrying about the risk of climbing out on the limb to get the fruit. But we're not cynical about this at all. This is not fantasy tools. We're not going to put you at risk. You may be the exception to this rule, but this guidance will save more people than it will hurt. And we're not trying to change everyone. We're trying to help you, if you're listening now, to help you have an effective career. If when someone says how the world should be, then you need to be careful about it, because the workplace is a little bit like nature without civilization. You know, it's nasty, brutish, and short, where nature is red in tooth and claw. And yes, it's true. We've quoted Gandhi before. We must be the change we wish, I think it's the Dalai Lama. We must be the change we wish to see in the world. That's true, but discretion is the better part of valor, okay? If you behave completely.
I think that quote actually refers to changing yourself.
Yeah, that's exactly.
An example, yeah, right? Yeah, it doesn't say go around changing everybody else.
Exactly, yeah. Good, okay. So we've already said don't try to change someone else, but now you're going to add to that. You're going to pile on here, give people even more reason to be cautious, because we don't want to try to change someone who knows more than you.
Yeah. So I have worked for people that I thought didn't have any brains.
Right.
That was my summary.
Okay, but let's be clear about that. I think there are a lot of people listening that you're trying to reach that probably think their boss has some brains. What you mean to say is you've worked for somebody who you assessed that you were intellectually brighter than them, you were quicker than them, you were smarter in some areas, maybe you were even more broadly knowledgeable about the world, right? That's what you're saying.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, that's what I meant. And I didn't, because I was smarter than I had been earlier, I didn't actually go and tell her that she was an airhead.
Okay.
But I did roll my eyes when she was talking. I did avoid doing things that she told me to do. And I talked about her behind her back. And I was generally a really bad direct.
Yeah, amazing.
Amazing.
It astounds me. I can't even comprehend this. You're just such a sweet person.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Okay.
And so, but it wasn't until I was out of that situation that she left. I went on to another boss and she left. And the job she got after that was a really big job. And the one after that was huge.
Which, by the way, doesn't happen, guys. Idiots don't get promoted twice
exactly.
to really, really big
that's
jobs.
What, that's
it
what
doesn't
really
happen. If
me.
You think that's happened, you're wrong. Remember what I said before? If you don't understand why other people do things, it's your fault. People don't do things for dumb or wrong reasons. They just don't. Particularly decisions that last a long time. They may drive too fast or something like that. But people don't do things strategically that they believe are dumb. It's just rare. Or if it happened, they make a movie out of it because it's interesting and dramatic and conflict and tension filled.
And there I was. So I was thinking, that it took me like 3 months of thinking, how did she get those jobs? Like, she was an airhead. She never remembered anything I told her. She asked 20 times the process and she should have understood it the second time, let alone the 20th. Like, how did she get this job? And one day it just sort of came to me that there was something she knew how to do that I didn't know. Because if I'd known that, I would have got those jobs.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the only reason your boss is your boss is because they know stuff you don't know.
Yeah, and here's the issue. Okay, guys, notice what our guidance is. Don't try to change people who know more than you. You may be smarter. You may be cuter and younger and quicker and hipper and cooler and cleverer and more knowledgeable in the right things and the future of the company. We're not, and you may just be plain dead smarter. We're not saying your boss is smarter than you. We're saying she knows more than you. And she knows stuff she can't tell you. And that job constrains her, just like your job constrains you.
Yeah.
Now, are we always right? Is it possible that your boss is doing a dumb thing? Of course. But the percentage of bosses who do dumb things is 1/100th. The percentage of bosses whose directs say they did dumb things. And so the problem is, are you going to roll the dice because you're right? Because you better roll snake eyes.
So, I mean, if we go back to that example that we were using earlier about the contracts, the boss may not be signing them because he already knows that your division is going to be sold off and those or spun off and those contracts are going to be null and void because they'll have the wrong company name on them. Or, something else is going to happen and he knows those contracts won't be valid.
Yeah, but then the direct would say, of course, well, but then he should just tell me that and I won't be wasting for. Well, okay, that's true. And I can't tell you the number of times people have said to Wendy, I really need an answer from Mark on this. And I said, okay, yeah, but I need, in order to provide you a 10-minute answer, I need a half an hour uninterrupted time to think through my answer to your strategic career problem because it's an unusual situation. And I haven't been able to find that half hour yet. And I have 17 things to do. And this one is number 14. And when I get to number 14, and oh, by the way, something may jump in there that's urgent above it tomorrow, I promise you, I'll give you that full half hour. On the other hand, I'm not going to do that. So you're thinking, well, if he knows the thing may get spun off, so there, yes, but he has to explain it to you, and he has to ask for you to keep it quiet because nobody else knows. And so he'd prefer not to run the risk of some confidentiality breach that could get out to the papers now, thanks to social media and hell, even before social media, just stupid people telling the wrong people about stuff. And so he chooses to deal with the annoyance. And he goes home and he probably tells his wife, you know, gosh, when, you know, I tell my wife, gee, Wendy's still bugging me. And I, you know, I'm putting her off. And
no wonder your wife doesn't like me.
One, and silly, don't say that. And then later I could go to you and say, look, I'm really sorry. I couldn't tell you. I mean, I could have told you, but then you would have had knowledge that would have put you a little bit at risk. I said I'd keep it quiet. And I probably should have said to you, stop nagging me about them. I will get to them. On the other hand, I know you're trying to do your job. But trying to change me? No.
Yeah, and you can't tell whether they're doing some pain avoidant self-justification exercise or whether there is something actually they can't tell you. You can't tell that from the outside.
And if you ever say about another person's behavior, the only reason they would do that is because of this, you're just wrong about that. Because you don't know their inner life. And usually the only reason they're doing it is to stymie you, which is ludicrous. People don't do things that way. They do, but not in the main. Not in the majority, not the vast majority of times.
The center of everybody's world is themselves.
That's right. Heliocentric, as they say. Yeah. And look, you don't know why your boss is acting the way she is. It might be a good reason, and she knows it, and you don't. Or it might just be laziness or self-justification, which they will never reveal to you. No. Because people think their motivation should be justifiable. But giving feedback, bad for you.
So,
and then the last one you said is about changing yourself.
Yeah, you did. Like, we've convinced you that changing other people is really hard, and probably impossible and not worth doing because the risk is so great.
Let me interrupt there real quick because I know some people are listening right now saying, whoa, what about the manager tools feedback model? If I'm a manager, I'm listening to career tools too, but a manager tools, it says, hey, can you do that differently? You know, so I'm going to try to change my directs. No, you're not. You're providing the directs some guidance about their behavior and an outcome they may or may not be aware of, and you're asking them to change themselves. It's about their future behavior, not about how you feel, not about what you want, but about what you recommend they consider doing in the future. It's that person's responsibility to change. It's the manager's responsibility to point out the failure or the weakness or the mistake, and it's the direct's responsibility to make the change.
So in order to help you understand how you would change yourself, we've got a bunch of examples, and hopefully one of them resonates with everybody so that they understand. So you have a high-eye boss, probably, who goes to meetings, never has the right paperwork.
Not prepared, yeah.
Yeah, completely excruciatingly embarrassing when you go to a meeting with him because he just makes everyone look bad by not having the right paperwork. Clearly, he's not bothered by it, by the way. So he's not in any pain. That's why he's not changing. So one thing you could do as a direct is make a packet of information for him and give it to him as he walks in the office, in the conference room before the meeting.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because he can't lose it between the door and the desk. He could, but you'd have to be good. And you mark the papers really clearly and really consistently over a number of meetings so that he knows what he's getting. Or if you think he could lose it between the door and the sink.
Hold on to him and hand them to him one at a time, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just pass it to him. You know, you don't see CEOs with a big pile of paper in front of them.
Oh,
you see the CEO comes in completely unencumbered. And beside him is his assistant, who will pass him the right papers at the right time.
Yeah.
There's nothing demeaning about it.
Yeah,
it's about
in fact, I can just see a buddy says to you, I can't believe that. You got to hand your boss stuff? No, man, let me tell you something. My boss is a genius. He's totally scattered. If I do this little thing for him, he's useful even more. I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, it's all about the what you take in your head. Yeah, the story you tell yourself about what you're doing, right?
Yeah. Okay, so what about, let's just another one. Your boss starts meetings late or doesn't get there, doesn't start them.
Doesn't start. So start the meeting, right? If you and your team or the rest of your peers are in a meeting or you and some people from another division are in the meeting, you should have an idea of what the agenda is and what you're supposed to be discussing. So take some initiative and start the meeting. He'll come in and take over or not, because you've just shown yourself to be able to run a meeting. And the only time you should really leave is if you have no clue at all. If you have an idea, if you have the title that, you know, it's about next year's announcement ceremony for, you know, the stock price or something. Okay, well, you kind of know what happened last time and you kind of know what could have been improved. So start that list and come up with some ideas and don't waste the time, right?
Yeah. There are two things that when I tell people, just start the meeting. People have all these reasons for you can't do it. And one of them is, what if the boss is first thing on the agenda? Well, skip that item on the agenda. Say, hey, look, the boss isn't here for these two. Let's go to Terry's report on X. Let's go right to that, okay? Or the other thing you can do is you could sit around and wait and complain. Or you could work. Or after 20 minutes, you could leave. And when your boss says, where were you? He says, look, I stayed for 20 minutes. I have a bunch of stuff to do today. I came back to my desk. And I'm happy to come back in, but I wasn't getting anything done or I had all my paperwork at my desk. And so I didn't want to bring 17 piles of paper into the meeting. Lemons into lemonade. But we're trying to give you options getting away from, I'm going to get my boss to start meetings on time.
Because it's not going to happen.
Right.
I like this one. My boss doesn't ever answer my emails or phone calls or texts. It's usually one or the other.
As you say, you like this one. You say, I don't answer your emails?
No, of course not. I just think the answer is so obvious. I see this question a lot on different forums and things that I go to see what's happening in the career world. And I see it and I just think,
Yeah, come on. What?
but maybe it's just because I've seen it so often, I've thought about the answer that, you know. If your boss doesn't answer your emails, stop emailing.
Yeah. Now, of course, there's an answer here. The answer you get from some people is, well, you know, he's in another state, so all we can do is email. Well, actually, you could call.
Yes.
But the embarrassment of people finding out that you're using the wrong communication technology to talk to your boss. He's a high I and he doesn't like email. She's a high C and she doesn't like talking on the phone. Is so great that people say, well, you don't understand. That won't work because of this, and this. And of course, now they're changing the question. So
yeah, of course. So if your boss or someone else, it doesn't matter who it is, isn't responding to your communication method, think about how they communicate with you. That's how they like to communicate and do that.
Yeah. I think about a direct who worked for Mike or a direct who worked for me. If somebody worked for Mike and then came over to work for me, Maggie's a good example, a corporate salesperson. Maggie used to work for Mike. Mike is a reader. I'm a listener. If you want Mike to make a decision, you send something in advance the night before, he reads through the emails and the attachments, and you go in and talk to him the next day. No problem. If you just try to stop into Mike's office and say, hey, can I chat with you for just a minute? I want to get some high level ideas. He's like, yeah, okay. But he's in neutral immediately because he didn't have enough data, and he'll completely stonewall you until you send him the data. Okay. Well, if you send me this data the night before, I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not reading it. I got tons of other stuff to do. I'm not doing it. And so if Maggie did what she used to do, in fact, when she first worked for me coming over from Mike, she did, she would send me stuff. She'd say, hey boss, did you get this stuff that I sent? I said, yep. What'd you think? And then I'd say, I didn't read it. And she said, why not? She said, why not? Because I'm not Mike. If you want my approval on something, you need to spend 5 minutes talking to me about it. I get to ask questions real time. I'll probably learn enough to say yay or nay, and then I'll go back in the next 24 hours and review your stuff. But if, in fact, I was going to say no, I'm not going to review your stuff in advance in order to say no. I don't want to spend 2 hours saying no if I can say no in 2 minutes. And she went, oh. And so now she calls me. Hey, can we do this? Sure, fine with me. And then she says, I'll send you something. I said, no, don't.
She's smart, that Maggie.
Yeah. Okay, what about my boss doesn't do his work?
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
I can't believe that this question exists, but it does. I see it frequently. So the answer to if your boss isn't doing what you think should be done, first of all, really think about that question.
The whole should. No, you don't know.
You don't know. And And then if you've thought about it and you're absolutely sure that that's what they should be doing, then think about how you can make it easier for her. So if there's a project and it just needs like kicking off so that it's got some momentum so that she can just carry it on because she's not a starter, then do that piece, start it. Or break it down into really small pieces and just like book some time on her calendar and sit with her while she does that piece and answer all her questions and don't let her get distracted by the phone.
Well, you've done this with me. I am required to write a lot of stuff, content, or put things in a certain tone of voice because so all of our content is written before it is spoken. And of course, we have other content that's just written. And you would say, hey, I need to write something. Well, people don't understand how hard it is to write. They just don't understand. I mean, you and I like to joke that the best part of writing is stopping writing. It's like writing is like getting beaten over the head with a steel pot. It's great when it ends. I would say, yeah, I'll get to it. Yeah, I'll get to it. But it was an hour and a half of focus. And if it was late in the day and I didn't have the decision drive to do it, I wouldn't do it. And so then you started coming by the house and sitting down and saying, I'm going to ask you a question and you're going to talk and I'm going to pay for somebody to transcribe it. I'd say, okay, fine. Right. And it worked out fine. In fact, the Trinity rollout emails, I can remember very clearly sitting at the house in Slope Road in Pebble Beach and you would ask me the question and I would dictate the answer.
Yeah,
and we did that for like 100 emails. Yeah.
another thing that I found works is I send you a draft and you edit it.
Yeah.
Oh, and sometimes you go, yeah, it's not worth it. Just send it out. It's close
enough.
Yeah,
yeah. And the issue is not the issue is she would at least have my input on a draft as opposed to nothing at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's me not doing my work. And she just realized, you know, I'll just draft something. And maybe it'll be close. Maybe it'll be terrible, but maybe I'll get the thing done. And then his work will have gotten done.
You're there to help your boss. You're not there for self-actualization. It's not about you. Your role in the organization is to move the organization forward. And in that, if you're at the bottom, your job is to keep supporting the layers above you. You don't work independently of your boss. Your job is to be a team and to support him in supporting the layers above him.
Yeah. I think we do need to say one more thing. There are times when you do get to say no to your boss, right? If your boss is harassing you, if he or she is making unethical or unreasonable requests, which probably aren't yours to decide relative to workload, but anything that makes you uncomfortable, then you do get to stand up and say, no, I need to tell you, you can't do that. And if you don't feel like you're being heard, hopefully you have an HR partner that you can talk to. Or if you don't know what to do and you're completely helpless, send us a mail and we'll try to help you come up with the most politically palatable path to get you to a better situation.
And the other choice you always have is something is really, really irritating to you and you can't stand it for another moment, you can leave.
But let's agree that ethical leaving is actually a three-step process. Build your network, the most important podcast career tools will ever do, and then do your search. Don't pull the trigger. Decide, okay, I can't tolerate this. It's not fair for me. It's not fair for my family. Mark and Wendy are wrong on this one. It's in the 1% of things that I need to tell him, but I fear I lose my job. So dot your I's, cross your T's, trust in God, but keep your powder dry. Get your resume together. Keep your network strong and then get another job and then decide what you're going to do.
Yeah, they don't lock the doors and make you stay there, which some people seem to forget. They mentally think they're trapped.
You know what? I don't think anybody would say they're trapped. I think the behavior is equivalent to feeling trapped,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And the reason is because the barrier to exit is so high because you have to go find another job. But guys, if you went through the fear and loathing of having to find a job when you didn't have one and you were scared and you were worried about what your spouse would think and you're worried about the quality of your kids' lives and so on, we respect that. We understand it. And it's completely different doing the search while you're gainfully employed. It's completely different saying, I'm going to take 6 months. I'm going to open myself up to the universe of possibilities. I'm going to be a positive, opportunistic person. I'm going to be optimistic about things, and I'm going to put my ducks in a row. And then what I am seeking, you know, what the universe is trying to give me, I am seeking. What I am seeking is seeking me as well. And karma will work its way in your life in a good way. And then you can ethically resign. And maybe that would have been the perfect job if you didn't work for your unethical boss. Unfortunately, though, you're not going to change him or her. And so you may have to make a change. And that's okay. It happens.
It is. So the big message, if anybody missed it, is you cannot change other people. If you read ancient Greek and ancient Roman literature, there's a bunch of stuff that says, don't try and change other people. We've known this forever.
Yeah, forever.
So, don't try and be the person who proves it wrong.
Yeah.
It's probably not going to be you.
Not going to be you.
Do the things that you can do and which are sensible for you to do, and give up pushing that rock uphill.
Good. Okay. Thanks, Winnie.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
That's it, everybody. Another one of those things Manager Tools has always recommended. Don't try to change your boss. Come back next week. We'll see you then.
Career Tools produces actionable guidance for professionals every week. To receive additional materials via our newsletter and to find products for situations you may face, go to www.managertools.com. Search for Career Tools on Twitter and LinkedIn.